Welcome back to this week's edition of Bible in the News. This week, the Straits of Hormuz opened, or at least slightly, maybe for a little bit. Trump attacked the Pope, and also Israeli settlements keep growing on the West Bank, or Judea and Samaria. So on Friday, that is yesterday, the Iranian foreign minister announced that the Straits of Hormuz are now open for the rest of the ceasefire. And this led to drops in oil prices of around 10%, although it's very early days to tell whether or not this situation will last. And Donald Trump announced that the US blockade of all Iranian ports would remain in place until, as he posted, the quote-unquote transaction with Iran is 100% complete. And it's true that overnight, a few ships have crossed the straits, although Donald Trump and the Iranians seem to have different ideas about the agreement that's been reached. Iran's seemingly concession on opening the straits very likely came because of pressure from China, because it turns out that about 30 to 50% of China's crude oil imports pass through this crucial chokehold, the Straits of Hormuz, and Trump's naval blockade has meant that now even Iran's friends have not been able to use the straits. And this means that the Chinese almost certainly would have been piling on the pressure to open the straits. And today, that is Saturday, Iran announced that the straits are now closed again because of Trump's refusal to remove the American naval blockade. So we don't really know when exactly the straits will be opened, or whether they're open already, or what's going on exactly. The war in Iran is very uncertain, and no one knows how it will play out over the next few weeks and longer. And Bible prophecy is not there, so we can try and read the tea leaves of everything that's happening in the world and predict what will happen next. However, the prophets of the Bible were inspired to record the story of God's people and his purpose with the nation of Israel. Since the dawn of civilization, God has been outworking his purpose with his people and shaping them that they might be a righteous nation in the kingdom age. And the Bible portrays this journey in terms of Rome versus Jerusalem, which is often called the framework of Bible prophecy. And as part of this beautiful story, the story of the nation of Israel, we're given a picture. We find prophecies about Israel's restoration in the latter days, the battle of Armageddon, and the restoration eventually of the kingdom to Israel when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And this means we don't know how the war in Iran will play out exactly. But we do know that we're living in the era defined in the Bible as the latter days. This is the time when God's people are back in the land of Israel. And the war in Iran may have huge implications for the way that God is aligning the nations to gather his people, or to gather the nations against his people Israel in the time of the end. So here are a few ways that this conflict, the conflict in Iran, could bring us closer to the return of Christ. The first one is about peace on the mountains of Israel. Famously, Ezekiel 38 describes a situation of peace on the mountains of Israel. Specifically, this means the settlements on the West Bank, that is, Judea and Samaria, as it's known in its biblical terms. These settlements must reach a situation of peace. And over the last few decades, the main thing that has been stopping Israel reaching peace on the mountains was Iran. They have funded all of Israel's enemies in the region. They've given them resources to continue their war on God's people. It's often been called the Ring of Fire. All of these countries or terrorist forces like Hezbollah and Hamas, which surround Israel and stop them from living in a situation of peace. Iran was Israel's major blockage to peace on the mountains of Israel. While Iran is there funding all of the terrorist proxies in the region, it seemed virtually impossible that this situation of peace might arise, as Ezekiel 38 describes. Now, we are not told in the Bible the state or condition of Iran at the time of the end. Maybe it will descend into chaos. Maybe it will be a failed state. Maybe it will be a Shia Muslim regime. Maybe not. Who knows? We don't know. Maybe it will regain some stability. Maybe there'll be a regime change. Who knows? But it has to be significant that the main obstacle to peace on the mountains of Israel has seemingly been taken out of the way. Even though it looks like everything is in chaos right now in the world, Israel could well be within touching distance of securing peace on the mountains of Israel and in the wider region as well. A second thing that is important about this conflict is the death of NATO. So this was discussed on Bible in the News last week. This war seems to be having a pretty dire effect for the NATO alliance. And in fact, there have been many commentators this week who've seem to be making the case that NATO is already dead in everything but name right now. And scripture describes this battle of Armageddon in the end times as a gathering of nations against the Jewish people in their land. And this gathering of nations is made up of a coalition which involves Rosh, which is from the utmost parts of the north, speaking of Russia, along with Gomer and Magog, among others. And Gomer and Magog represent the landmass of Europe. For Russia and Europe to be allied against Israel and the merchants of Tarshish, which are the powers spoken about again in Ezekiel 38, there must be no alliance between Europe and the merchants of Tarshish. The merchants of Tarshish typically seem to be speaking about Britain and her young lions, the Commonwealth nations, and the US as well. For Russia and Europe to be allied against Israel and the merchants of Tarshish, it means that this alliance between Europe and America, one of the young lions, can't functionally exist at the time of the end. We should expect to see a distancing between America and the nations of Europe. And perhaps the Trump administration has gone further than any other in demonstrating what a big distance there is between these two groups, these two land masses. And there's more depth to this picture as well, because the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation describe the eastern and western legs of the Roman Empire coming together in the time of the end. Now, the legacy of the western half of the Roman Empire can be seen in the nations making up Catholic Europe. The legacy of the Eastern Roman Empire, on the other hand, that is the Byzantine Empire, originally founded in Constantinople or Istanbul, migrated to Russia. Moscow, which is often called the Third Rome, Russia became the inheritance of the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Eastern leg of the Roman Catholic Church, if you like. Armageddon happens when the Roman Empire breathes with both its lungs once again. And for this to happen, the NATO alliance must crumble. And this week has been a pretty bad week for NATO. So, for example, this is what Trump posted yesterday. He said, quote, "Now that the Hormuz Strait situation is over, I received a call from NATO asking if we would need any help. I told them," all caps, "I told them to stay away unless they just want to load up their ships with oil. They are useless when needed. A paper tiger," he says, "President DJT," end quote. One day, the NATO alliance will fall. Whether that's in the near future or perhaps a bit further away, we don't know. But we expect Russia to be allied in some way with Europe, either by force or by treaty, we don't know. Russia and Europe seem to be allied in the latter days against the UK and her young lions. So that brings us on to the third reason why this war is interesting in terms of signs of the times. And again, there may be more reasons, but this is just three which I think feature in a big way. So this is America's anti-Semitism. So right now, on the surface of things, it looks like the alliance between Israel and America could be at its strongest point in history. The Israeli and American fighter pilots have been flying together. Israel and America have prosecuted a joint war on their enemies. But underneath the surface, the picture is much more disturbing. After the Gaza war, support for Israel has dropped significantly in the United States. And since the war with Iran began, it's positively fallen off a cliff. The White House seems to be unable to shake the impression that the US entered this war because of Israel. A large proportion of the public seems to think that this war is in Israel's interest rather than in America's interest. And while Israel and America are strong allies right now, this may not be the case in the future. This might be the last time that Israel can count on America to help them in times of trouble. The pressure for Israel to stop using American aid is also growing as a result of this. Now, Ezekiel 38, again, this famous passage about Armageddon, describes a situation where the merchants of Tarshish and her young lions, Britain and her young lions, do not actively get involved in stopping the other nations attack Israel. They merely watch from the sidelines. The merchants of Tarshish and her young lions are often thought to be Britain, as we say, and the Commonwealth nations and the US. And the attitude of these nations described in the prophets may very well fit with the growth of an America first, isolationist foreign policy in America that's very suspicious of the nation of Israel. And this has been exacerbated by the fact that in America, anti-Semitism has grown both on the left and the right wing of politics. And also it's worth bearing in mind that America is still one of Israel's most friendly nations on the planet. If anti-Semitism is growing in America, then what does this mean for the rest of the world? Israel is a nation that dwells alone, and this is becoming more true all of the time. So another thing that happened last week, or this week, was Trump's Twitter battle with the Pope. And while in some ways it was relatively innocuous in the grand scheme of things, it could well be a symptom of something deeper. And this is important because an understanding of the Roman Catholic Church in Bible prophecy is fundamental. So in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he sees a statue which is made up of different metals, which become the powers who would rule over the kingdoms of men throughout history. So the iron legs were a prophecy of the might of the Roman Empire that would be split into two centers, the east and the west, like we said earlier. The iron is also present in the feet, which are made up of iron and clay. And the feet are only destroyed when Jesus returns, when the stone of the kingdom of Israel hits the image on the feet. Therefore, in the latter days, in our times, there is an element of our world that is made up of the iron of ancient Rome. Where do we find Rome in our world today? The same is also true in Daniel's vision of the beasts a little bit later on in the book, in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel sees four beasts, one after the other, which each in turn represent the same nations which were spoken about in the metals of Nebuchadnezzar's image. The fourth beast is described as, quote, great and terrible, and it's a prophecy of the Roman Empire. And again, we can find the same logic here. This fourth beast, this Roman Empire beast, survives right the way through until Jesus returns to destroy it in the future. Therefore, there must be an element of the Roman Empire in our world today. And the book of Revelation expands on this idea even further. Now, the heir to the Roman Empire can be seen throughout the last 2,000 years of history in the nations of Europe and their religious system, the Roman Catholic Church. Catholicism and a shared Roman heritage is the glue that holds Europe together. And that's why Britain was never really a part of that. Their heritage is Protestant. It comes from a different place than the Roman Catholic Church. Bible prophecy demands that there be an aspect of Rome that is alive in the latter days. And this means that the Roman Catholic system, according to the Bible, is still today a fundamentally malevolent and anti-Semitic force in the world. It's the presence of Rome in the time of the end, as described in Daniel 7 and Daniel 2 and the book of Revelation and also the man of sin in 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians 2 as well. Now, this is not a criticism of individual Catholics. It's saying that the system as a whole, that the Roman Catholic system, the Vatican and its leadership, represent part of the kingdom of men which has been at war with God's people, both natural and spiritual, for generations. And this can be seen through Pope Leo's attitude towards Israel. He's accused Israel of barbarity in Gaza. In fact, the very existence of Israel is at odds with Catholic theology, which sees no place for the ingathering of the exiles in their interpretation of the Bible. So this week, Trump posted saying that the Pope is, quote, weak on crime, terrible for foreign policy. And then he said, I don't want a Pope who thinks it's okay for Iran to have a nuclear weapon, end quote. And the Pope responded in kind by implying that Trump was a tyrant who spends billions of dollars on wars. Now, this seems slightly ironic, since it's coming from the leader of a religious system that brought absolutist tyranny to Europe for centuries and burnt people at the stake for translating the Bible into English. If there's anywhere in the world that we might look for tyranny, really, the Roman Catholic Church might be very high on that list. But regardless of the ins and outs of this slightly petty feud, the important thing is that it makes sense that there should be tension between the Catholic Church and one of the young lions of Tarshish. These are two fundamentally different powers who, in the end, will be divided when Catholic Europe and its religious heritage one day moves to join the gathering of the nations who attacks Israel in their land. The attack against Israel is a fundamentally religious idea at the time of the end, and therefore we can expect the power of the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church to grow as time continues. And in fact, we have seen a bit of a revival in the Catholic Church in the world in recent years. But finally, as chaos reigns around the world, as the Iran war rages, settlements in Judea and Samaria are continuing to be built. So we know that, for example, in Ezekiel 34 to 39, these are restoration prophecies. There are a series of parallel prophecies that all provide different information about the ingathering of the exiles and the restoration of the Jewish people. So chapter 38 and 39, the ones we've referred to already, perhaps the most famous, they're about the Battle of Armageddon. Whereas chapter 37 is the same picture, but now it's about dry bones and then the story of the two sticks. Well, chapter 36 is also a parallel prophecy about the same period, the latter days, but it describes this period in a different way. It focuses on the mountains of Israel. It expands on the landmass, which is briefly mentioned in chapter 38. It tells us that in the time of the end, God will multiply men on the mountains of Israel, on Judea and Samaria. The mountains, it says, will be tilled and sown, and the ancient wastes will be builded. And we can forget what a huge privilege it is to be living in a world where this is happening in front of our eyes. So last week, the government appointed or approved a record 34 new settlements. So these are some brand new settlements which would be built, and others are some settlements which will be retroactively legalized. So they were built without any approval from the government, and now retroactively the government's saying, actually, we approve you and you can become part of the nation of Israel, in a sense. They've approved 34 new settlements. And just for context, just to show how historic that is, because we kind of forget, in the 30 years between the Oslo Accords, so that was 1993, and the start of this government, this Knesset, which was since 2022. So from 1993 to 2022, six new settlements were formally approved. Now, since 2022, 103 settlements have received approval. That is a vast increase. The attitude of the Israeli government is changing. And it has been changing. There's a shift in Israeli politics. And the Gaza war, October the 7th, has only exacerbated that shift. The Israelis, in terms of settlement building, in many ways, are more belligerent than ever. More settlements are being built. More Jews are returning to the mountains of Israel, the cradle of ancient Jewish civilization. This is a map which shows all of these settlements being spread right throughout this region. So this was published by I-24 News, and it shows that each of these 34 settlements is spread throughout both Judea and Samaria, and it kind of deepens Israel's hold on all parts of this region, the mountains of Israel. While war in Iran rages, The settlements keep on being built on the mountains of Israel. We don't know the day or hour of Jesus' return, but there are signs of the times that mean we should lift up our heads and see our redemption drawing nearer and make the effort to try and fill our lamps with the oil of God's word in the days that remain. This has been Dan Blackburn joining you for this week's edition of Bible in the News.